Vince McMahon here saying, thanks for listening to the Pro Wrestling Proverbs Podcast.
Pro Wrestling Proverbs. I am your host, Anthony. I'm joined with, as always, Logan. How you doing, Logan?
Hello.
We are in the thick of WrestleMania season here. We're just outside 2 weeks away, almost 2 weeks exactly, from when you're listening to this, when this is uploaded. No, it's even less than that. It's a week. We're a week away from WrestleMania. It seems like this season is really flown by. I feel like we just were talking about the Royal Rumble. And ever since then, we've had the Elimination Chamber. We've had multiple Bloodline segments. They're always riveting, you know. AEW could never do a story like that.
We've even had a stop, a couple stops here in Michigan.
In Grand Rapids.
Yep.
Yes, sir. That's where our whole our Bray Wyatt YouTube video that we just released. That's where that stemmed from, because we saw, or you saw, Bray Wyatt there do the Muscle Man dance, and it kind of set you off, kind of put you off the
dance. Yeah, I did.
And
I did not like it. I was not a fan of the Muscle Man dance.
I feel like we kind of shit on Bray Wyatt kind of a lot the past couple weeks, but it feels like we kind of been vindicated since then. Because within the past week and a half or so, he's just gone. He's fucking over Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley now doesn't have a WrestleMania match.
And the reports are supposedly Bray's hurt, but what I'm reading, I'm reading through the lines here, in between the lines.
His feelings.
It sounds like his feelings are hurt. Yeah, wah. Well, I wanted to come back, and I wanted to be the Undertaker so bad.
Yeah, no disrespect to Bray, but sounds like we have a case of vaginitis. I don't know.
We don't. AEW's got Punk. WWE's got Wyatt. What are you gonna do? It's wrestling.
Hey, at least I think Punk's actually hurt. We'll give him the I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. let's just start off. We have a lot of things to talk about here today. There's been a pandemic going on. Not COVID, not this new fungi going around, but there's a pandemic among wrestling fans. Wrestling fans who feel entitled to stalk and harass wrestlers, especially at airports. We're going to cover that briefly here. And also later on, we're going to talk about a couple weeks ago, Sean Rossett put out this tweet, which I thought was a very good thought experiment. If you had to make an all-time WrestleMania card based on past matches, how would it look? And you can only use each wrestler once. So he has lays out a template. We'll get into that later. But first, Logan here sent me this picture just now from USA Insider. USANetwork.com.
Is this
Liv Morgan?
No, this is from Rhea Ripley.
Oh, Rhea Ripley. Okay, so is the pandemic. We've lost. We've had more confirmed cases of this pandemic here.
So the first one that was reported that people I'm sure saw on social media was Rey Mysterio. From what I gathered, it looked like someone brought a whole bunch of broken down Funko boxes for him to sign, so that way they could pop them back out, stick the Funko in, you know. And Ray told him, no, they don't want us to do that, which I totally get. The past couple WWE live events I've went to, they have 8x10s there of certain superstars signed. And I know they also allow the superstars to work with, I know on my Facebook feed, I have Dark Parlor Originals. They have WWE superstars, Hollywood celebrities, even some NFL players sign a bunch of Funkos that get sent out to fans. It's something that's planned way in advance. It would kind of make those kind of things seem a little less legitimate if you can just walk up to this guy and get them for free. I know someone like Ray also does cons, like the I think it's the Wizarding World Con or Wizard World Comic Con. He'll do those. And you have to charge money to do it, obviously. And these fans just expect them to do it, you know, for free. Yeah. As they're
and there's an expectation too. Like if you're like by yourself, like on the street, like maybe with like if you have a younger brother or even a child, like a kid, and like, oh, hey, can you sign my notebook or like this piece of paper? Like if you're coming at them like with a plan in place.
Yeah,
like that Rey Mysterio video, like you said, they had the Funko boxes like taped to like a poster board. Like they obviously went through and took time to do this. They knew he'd be traveling at this airport. I don't know if it was like they're in like their city, so they knew the wrestlers would be there, or if he actually went to like I don't know where does Rey live now? Does he still live in San Diego? Like are they at the San Diego airport, like waiting for him to show up?
Yeah, it's just
and like yeah, those other criticisms are valid too. Of a lot of these people will go and spend like hundreds of dollars, especially somebody for like of like Ray's caliber. You probably spend at least like $120.
Oh yeah,
dollars. And this guy's going up and trying to get like 8 signatures at once for free.
Yeah, and then they harass you.
A douchebag too the whole time. I'm just a fan, Ray. I'm just a fan, Ray.
Yeah, and they try and make you feel bad for it. I know the same thing happened to Liv Morgan, and in her video it seemed like she kind of gave in and signed some, which I'm sure she did it because she just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And the difference in her and Ray is I'm sure she's a little fearful, more fearful of these fans. I'm not saying Ray's the biggest guy, but I still think he could have laid out the guys there if needed. But it becomes a double-edged sword, because with Liv doing that, then everyone online, well, then why didn't Ray do it? Didn't Ray do it? And, you know, here he does so much besides wrestling, makes all those appearances. I know there's a couple, I guess you'd call them social media or TikTok stars, a couple like guys with Down syndrome, and Ray will meet them at events. Meet and greet, hug him, talk to him, like he's a good guy, but then the internet tries to portray him as a villain. Well, not the whole internet, but this sector. Yeah. For not signing. The thing I sent you about Rhea, the quote here, as she said, is it's sort of an entitled thing when some fans expect us to just do it and they start making a fuss if we say no. So I had a fan follow me outside the airport today because I said no to them because I didn't have the time and it was all the same stuff they wanted signed. I'm assuming the Rhea Funko that recently came out. Then she goes on to say it was one fan specifically. He's notorious. He's always at the airport getting our signatures and selling them on eBay. We know his face. We know who he is. He was the main instigator. He followed me out and others followed him too, and they all followed me as I'm trying to find my Uber. So I'm trying to tell them no, and they're all being persistent, and I ended up getting lost. I had no idea where my Uber was. I ended up down the stairs away from everyone else, and I'm just surrounded by these 5 guys, and they're just hassling me. Now, I don't know why, and it seems like, and I'm sure other celebrities this happens to, but it seems like these stories always are professional wrestling related. And it's a tale as old as time where people try and meet them at the airport. They'll bug them. Or even within recent years, you'll see people on Twitter be like, oh, I tried saying hi to my hero at dinner and he just blew me off. And then that's when the wrestler, luckily with Twitter, can respond and be like, no, I was trying to eat with my family and you kept coming up and bugging me for a picture. I told you to wait till we were done and you got angry.
Yeah, it's common. I also hate the argument of when you're a public figure, it should be expected. But I think, you know, common decency is expected too. at some point as well.
Common decency, and then, like I said, I don't know if it's because I go to the conventions quite a bit as it is, but there's, like, almost a decorum, even when you're at those. You know, you wait in line, you get up to the table, if they want to shake your hand or give you a hug, you do that. You have maybe a question or two or a comment, like, oh, I loved this match, or if it's a movie star, oh, I loved you in this movie. Get your autograph, get your picture, and you move on. You don't sit there and chat with them for, you know, 30 minutes when there's a line. You don't try and sneak in a bunch of extra things for them to sign.
I've seen a couple of those in our experiences.
Well, even at StarCast, people, as the wrestler was leaving the table, they would try and get them after. Like, why not just pay the money to go up to the table and meet them? Oh, wait, because you don't want to pay money because you want to get your Funko or figure box signed so that way you can charge $200 and make $190.
Yeah. I remember we've seen it when we went to Astronomicon last year, and Danhausen was there, and he had that, I don't know if you remember this, he had the photo op that we got, like the professional one.
Yeah.
And on his way there, I remember seeing people like trying to like get selfies with them.
Yep. I'm like, come on. Yeah, no, there's a decorum. I mean, yeah, they might be your hero or you might be a big fan of them, but they're people too. Like, give them some respect. You know, they just got off a long airplane ride after doing their job the night before. Or, you know, they're trying to make their way to the hotels so they can get some rest. They're trying to make their way to a restaurant to get some food. Just think how you'd want to be treated in those situations. And I know there's going to be a couple people out there. I'd love to take a picture with everyone. I would sign everything that everyone brought to me.
I would respect my fans no matter where I was at.
Yeah. Sure. And just because you had no friends in high school doesn't mean you'd have all your friends once you're a fucking pro wrestler, alright?
Like,
get out of here.
Like, I can even, like, understand, like, seeing somebody, like, out on the street, like, in public, like, in passing. Like, I can almost be pretty okay with that. I just don't understand the figuring out what hotel hotel they're staying at, and then figuring out what plane they're on and when they're flying in, at which airport, what time.
I mean, at that point, you're stalking them.
Yeah, and like, there's been, remember what happened with Sonya Deville? Was it last year?
Yeah.
People fucking breaking into her house. This is how that kind of shit fucking starts.
Crazy, and I mean,
coming in here and,
while we're on the subject, did you see what former WCW commentator Mark Madden had to say about it?
I did not. What does Mark Madden have to say about it? I'm sure it's...
Oh, let's see if it is still out there. He essentially said... that it essentially what you said, they're public figures, doesn't matter. Here we go. Justin LaBar said, I've seen the creeping that's done at baggage claim. Don't blame her or any of the guys and girls for taking this stance. And Mark Madden responded with, bullshit, it's part of the job. And yet a bunch of people like Lance Storm and Matt Cardona come at him. Matt Cardona told him to shut the fuck up. Lance Storm said it's not part of the job when it's someone like what happened with Sonya Deville. And then, of course, like every other situation, Mark Madden responded with, well, you know, the Sonya Deville story was completely different than this. They're just trying to get some autographs. Like, you think someone that was involved with the industry, even a short amount of time, the cup of coffee that he was with WCW, you would know how bad fans can be sometimes. It's not all of them. Like I said, it's a sector. But it's like that with every fandom, every group. There's like that 5 to 8% that just ruin it for everybody.
And they're always creepy, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They always
look like Mark Madden, and they're creepy and annoying, like Disco Inferno.
Nothing against him.
Yeah, a lot against them.
I don't know. I don't know what I hate worse. I don't know. The fans trying to get autographs at airports, or them post being horny on their mains and wrestlers like replies like on Instagram.
Yeah,
that's the worst too. Like, let's go to like Alexa Bliss, for example. We'll do a live look here at Alexa Bliss WWE. Let's go to her media. Let's find a picture of her posted here somewhere. Here, I think this is her and her husband, I think.
Okay.
LA Knights. And then there's a bunch of gifts. I should see this coming. There's a bunch of gifts to LA Knight saying, yeah. So this might have been the best one to click on here. But,
No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Here's one of her, just very provocatively. No heavy glam, just drop dead gorgeous. Okay.
We like that. So sexy, hot. Oh, my girl.
Your beauty is astounding, but inside, within your heart, is the most important thing of all. Love opens up the heart. At least for me, it is. Always and forever. Good night. I'll always dream of you.
If you hear me screaming bloody murder, there's a good chance I'm just enjoying myself.
Oh my god. Hi, Miss Bliss. Good afternoon. My name is Chris. How are you doing today? I'm a huge fan of yours. Please, if it's okay, if you're not too busy, please can you follow me on Twitter? At his Twitter username. Please, thank you so very much. Happy Valentine's Day.
Let's see. Yeah, there's another one I saw. She's beautiful because that's the real you. Have a blessed day. I'll always have a crush on you. She'll always be my favorite platonic love. Yeah, people are just... They're gross. They're awesome. They're awful.
Someone said, don't trust Vince McMahon, Alexa.
Yeah, Twitter is just full of a lot of wrestling and dirt bags. And I guess we're on the subject. How you doing, longtime friend of the show, Brad Shepherd? So, for context, if you need to go back and listen to some of our older podcasts,
I think he was a big topic on our "People We Hate" podcast, or no, "Things We Hate."
Things we hate. I wouldn't call him a people.
Yeah. He said, "What's the girl's name? Denise? I can't pronounce her last name. If I'm being honest, so sorry." Salcido, Denise Salcido, sounds about right.
You did good.
Was that close? Was it?
Yep.
Okay. Are you just fucking with me?
No.
I am beyond thrilled to announce I'm officially joining at Busted Open Radio as an on-air personality. Blah 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 blah. She's gonna be working with Mark Henry, doing a show with him. I guess every Saturday from 9 to noon.
Which is pretty big because Denise is along the lines of like an Alicia Aututh or a, oh goodness, a Quinn. She used to do the Ring of Honor announcing. These people, you know, they started pretty low and they've worked their way up. And as we learned with how big it was when Renee Young joined the Raw commentary team, there's not a lot of women in this kind of field. So it's big whenever there's any movement within it. But, of course, Brad had to reply, no matter how many opportunities Denise receives from kissing the right asses, and he put in parentheses Sean Sapp, Sam Roberts, etc., She will never accomplish anything of significance in wrestling media strictly based on her own talent. She is bubblegum beat boring. And a lot of people did not take kindly to this.
I think it's just, I won't even say covert, I think it's just open sexism at this point. Because you see it in sports media in general. Yeah. When it comes to like females covering sport, I think that's all it is. I think Brett Shipp is just butthurt that he doesn't have his own show on Busted Open. And for somebody who claims to be, you know, big in the industry, like across social media, we probably have more followers than him. I'll take that bet. He has 513 followers on Twitter. I don't think he has much of anything else, and we top that with TikTok alone. But yeah, he's been canceled a couple times for jock humor, I'll say, but it's not even like that good.
Up here,
like you're saying, people in. Within the industry, we're shitting on him anyway.
Let's say someone asked him, "What are you hoping to accomplish with this tweet? What are you moving forward here? Who gains anything?" He said, "I'll bite because I understand random people like you who are quick to react don't understand the history. Denise is in a clique that have canceled me, slandered me, or attacked my character, and stalked and harassed both me and my family. They're never held accountable by their peers or fans for their behavior. I'm tired of seeing people like that protected and promoted in wrestling and receiving opportunities. I find Denise to be generic and boring for a media personality. It was simply a throwaway opinion. You can read where fans have plenty of throwaway opinions. I hope by now Denise is capable of handling criticism of her work. That's all it was."
But if you're going to criticize her work.
And then to tie everything together, this was retweeted by Mark Madden with a quote saying, "This is 100% correct. Sums up wrestling media." So, looks like there's just a rat's nest forming on Twitter between these two.
Yeah. They can stay in their nest. Maybe we can get an exterminator called out there for them. Yeah, we've shown Brad Shepard a lot. I replied to his tweet saying that he probably smells like cat piss. I don't take back that statement at all. I think you just quote tweeted and saying he's a piece of shit.
Yep.
He is. This tweet's almost as bad as his selfie. Oh, apparently he went viral recently. That's what his, I think honestly that's where like this whole tweet stems from, because he knew he'd get a reaction from the people he's looking to get the reaction from. Quote, like, anybody that's working at Fightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, him and the guy from Ringside News, I forget his name.
Steve something.
So yeah, whatever. Steve Dumbfuck. And a couple others. They just hate like the people at Fightful and Figure Four Online, Wrestling Observer, stuff like that. I don't know why they have such a hate boner for them.
But I don't know. Brad
obviously tweeted this to get the reaction, so it would get picked up by one of the people at Fightful, specifically Sean Rossap, and he took the bait. He did it. He responded to him, got him a bunch of retweets, and
well, it's like I said on our one Facebook, someone questioned us talking about Meltzer, and I told him that, you know, you might not like him, but that doesn't mean, you know, you can't respect him. And I think that's kind of where a lot of fans and stuff are at, especially with Fightful or Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Like, yeah, they get something wrong every so often, But I mean, who are you gonna believe? Them? Like Mark Madden, Brad Shepard, Disco Inferno.
I think if you're a if we call yourself like a if you want to be a wrestling journalist, I know that's that phrase has been thrown around a lot in the past couple months.
Yep.
But if you're trying to be a wrestling journalist, if you're not striving to be somebody like Sean
Yeah.
Alsop or Dave Meltzer or Brian Alvarez, then like what are you doing? Like attacking
You're sitting in
people,
a you're
attacking.
yeah, you're sitting in a hole in your mom's basement, blowing the Cheeto dust off your fingers, getting ready to type a new mean tweet on Twitter, hoping to stay relevant after your cup of coffee in WCW.
Yeah. And this tweet of Brad Shepard's got 1.2 million views or interactions or whatever. Only 106 likes, 298 retweets. But I think that's what he's looking for, was that 1.2 million. He wanted that exposure. So I think this is a new Twitter. Either that or he like deactivated and reactivated or something and lost all of his followers. Because like I said, he only has just over 513. That's up like 300 followers since when he first tweeted that. Because I saw it. At first, I thought we were blocked, or we blocked him.
No, I'm pretty sure he blocked us.
Yeah, so he got a new Twitter, hasn't blocked us on this one yet.
Yet.
He's got a new podcast dropping Thursday, the 23rd, and he wants people to tune in. So I'm thinking that's the only reason he's been tweeting this. And he's taken the stance of, oh, I'm not going to get canceled because I won't let them cancel me. Like he's a casualty of the woke media, one of those people. And
Yeah.
frankly, I hate those people in wrestling and in
Just in
national
general.
politics. Yeah, like claiming being canceled because of the woke liberals doesn't give you is an excuse for you to be racist and sexist and an asshole to everybody.
Yeah, and that's not why you're being canceled. You're just being canceled because you suck.
Being canceled because you're fucking ugly.
But let's get away from this and let's get to our I guess you'd say the main event for this podcast. You hinted at it earlier.
So yeah, something I was looking forward to. Speaking of, we just talked about Sean Ratzenberger. We're just gonna steal his tweet idea and make it into a podcast. So thank you, Sean. Like I said, we're going to be building a all-time WrestleMania card based on past matches. You'll have two world championship matches, two women's title matches, a celebrity match, an out of retirement match, so a wrestler coming out of retirement to wrestle, present versus the past, a tag title match, a secondary title match, and a miscellaneous match. And the caveat is you can only use each wrestler once. So
Yes.
this
And
is a like a well, we're taking this WrestleMania is taking place on Battle World essentially, and we can
I'll
do
go out on a limb. I noticed a lot of people are having trouble on Twitter filling out the card with the rules and the guidelines. I enjoyed it a little too much. I actually have four miscellaneous matches, and the rules are still in effect. One superstar or a superstar can only be in one match. And it's not like I have any throwaway matches either. Like these are all ones that could be considered for it. I just wanted to make sure they got on the card. And even with having these extra matches, I still don't have, Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, or even Roddy Piper on my card. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly I do have on this. Did you want me to start or finish with my three that don't really.
Let's start with your three miscellaneous ones that you didn't have, and
Okay.
then we'll move on. We'll start
So
with those ones.
these are the three, because I have a regular miscellaneous on here as well, like you're supposed to, but these are the three that I couldn't leave off. Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero from WrestleMania 21, regarded as one of the better, if not one of the best, opening matches of all time. Also from that same card, we've got Undertaker and Randy Orton. I debated on putting that in past versus present, but it ended up falling to here. And then I've also got Brock and Kurt Angle from their great match at WrestleMania 19. Again, this could have gone to one of the heavyweight title spots, but as you'll see, there wasn't room for it. I hate to sound like a Vince McMahon, but I did want to get everyone here on the card, especially if they fell within the guidelines.
So you sent yours over first, and I did mine after you, so I tried not to copy any of your matches the best I could. We only have two of the same. So what is your first what's your tag match?
I've got the TLC tag team match, which I know which one is your tag match.
So when you sent yours over, I didn't want to. I also wanted to go TLC tag, but I figured if we're gonna have the same, I don't want to have like three or four of the same.
Yeah.
So I try to switch it up a little bit. So I just went with a match I think is equally as good, just not as iconic as the TLC tag, obviously. But we're going with the ladder match from WrestleMania 2000.
I think with us. With us picking these, I think it shows, because this is supposed to be for a tag title, not just a random tag match. Because I think there's been plenty of good random tag matches over Mania history. Yeah. There just hasn't been too many good tag team title matches. It's rare that it's not just kind of a throwaway. Like, I remember WrestleMania 20, they did the Fatal 4-Way matches for both the Raw and SmackDown titles. A couple of times it's been on the pre-show with the Ray and Eddie match I brought up. They were tag team champions and they faced each other. I know Russell. There's a lot of times where it's just not a focal point. So, I mean, props to the Dudleys, Edge and Christian and Hardys for making it a focal point in two different matches. Next up, we've got the secondary title, which, I mean, could be for the Intercontinental, could be for the U.S., could be for the hardcore European, if someone found one they thought mattered enough. I went with the obvious choice, the one that's regarded as the greatest Mania match of all time, took place here in Michigan. WrestleMania 3 is Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. The less said about this one, I mean, realistically, the better. This is just one of those matches someone has to go out and watch for themselves to understand how good it truly is.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the ones we have the same of, but I don't have it listed as my secondary title match. I have it a little bit later down. My secondary championship match is... I have two ladder matches. Both are the TLC tag and the ladder match probably would not have happened if it wasn't for this one. I have HBK, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon at WrestleMania 10 in the WWF's first ever ladder match.
Hell of a
ladder match, I think. Iconic. Obviously not as spot fest as the two months before, but the moment of Razor holding both of the Intercontinental Championships on top of the ladder. Can't beat that.
Then, for our two women's, I've got two recent matches. I know you've got two recent matches, but it's along the same thing. There hasn't been too many memorable women's championship matches at WrestleMania. I mean, you could argue the first Mania, where Lalani Kai and Wendi Richter fought each other. I know that Lalani Kai also fought Alundra Blaze later on. It was at either 10 or 11. And then there's kind of a lull point until, you know, WrestleMania 18, WrestleMania 19. But the two women's matches I have are Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte. And then Sasha and Bianca. Both of which memorable in their own right. The Becky Ronda Charlotte one capped off Becky Lynch's The Man storyline, and she has ran with it ever since. And I think the Bianca Sasha was Bianca's coming out party. It's crazy to think that Sasha and Charlotte aren't the two that came out looking better with these matches.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even a year before each of these Manias, you would think, you know, Charlotte would be the one holding the title up, Sasha would be the one holding the title up. Even now. But these were definitely Becky and Bianca's. This is where they got their flowers. Ronda was there for the triple threat. She played her role. It wasn't too long after that we kind of started seeing the cracks in the foundation of Ronda Rousey.
This is my last, same as yours. I also had Sasha versus Bianca from WrestleMania 37. I had to put on because it was probably one of my favorite women's matches and stuff there. And also, you know, I'm a big fan of Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca getting the win, having the first time ever two women African Americans main eventing WrestleMania. Historic in its own right, right there. I think Bianca was the right choice to win in the match as well. And presumably match of the night as well. I have a hard time remembering what other matches were on night one, because that was night one of 37. Night two was the main event with Roman, Edge, and Bryan. So for them, the main event, night one, I'll go out on a limb and say it was one of the best matches on the card as well. And then my next one, I know this one gets a lot of hate. I know I did not like it when it happened, but in retrospect, this was actually a great match. I was in a toss-up here with this one and Trish versus Mickie James at WrestleMania 21.
Yep.
But I decided to go with this one just to keep it more modern. Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. Asuka losing, tapping out and her streak ending. Charlotte Flair winning again, not dropping the title to Royal Rumble winner Asuka. I think a lot of people were just really upset that Asuka's winning streak ended, and that both Shinsuke and Asuka both lost the world title matches that year. But I'm telling you, if you go back and watch the match, and it's out of context, it was a good match. It was a good match between Flair and Asuka.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially the one thing that fans always complain about is how WWE books himself into a corner with, like, super champions like Roman or undefeated streaks, because you have to figure out who's going to beat him. And the big thing with Goldberg's streak was, you know, he lost a Starrcade. There's interference, and it looked sloppy. I think if you're going to have Asuka lose for her first, it makes sense for it to be a Mania. It makes sense for it to be against Charlotte Flair, who for all rights is a flag bearer for the women's division. She might not always be the top or the main event, but
I do understand if you're out there and you're upset that she lost at the time too. Like that's fine, because Asuka was going to lose eventually. She didn't lose to Charlotte then, and she did win and have the title reign and drop to somebody else at SummerSlam or WrestleMania. That would have been awesome too, but it didn't. But that's not take away from the fact that this was a good match.
Oh yeah.
Past versus present.
And we have two very different, very different matches here.
Yes. I had to save just go ahead. You go yours.
My past versus present is the first Rock versus Cena match. At the time, it was a toss-up when I was coming up with this, whether I do Hogan and Rock or Rock and Cena. Rock is clearly a generational talent. And it's just so crazy, because when you think past versus present, I mean, granted, the past is going to be able to wrestle a little bit, but you don't expect them to look as good as The Rock did in this match. This is one of those, you know, it was supposed to be once in a lifetime. We clearly got lied to. And then we got the rematch the next year. And it was at that one that The Rock hurt himself. Yes. And has kind of stayed away ever since. I always have that what if in the back of my mind. If he could have made it through that match and not got injured, if we would have seen him come back more, if maybe he would have challenged Cena for the title at SummerSlam, who knows? But that first
had Roman versus Rock already by now.
Oh, I think so.
I don't think it's ever gonna happen now. There's no time because he wrestled what at WrestleMania 20, right?
And
he
yep.
Time. He said time. That was his last match.
Yes.
Then he did not wrestle again until Survivor Series 2011.
Yeah.
Which is just under 7 years. Just under 8 years. Like 7 and 9 months or something like that.
Yeah, right around there.
Something like that. And then now he wrestled at WrestleMania 29 in April. And is now, I don't want to age us here. Don't make you feel any older than we already do. WrestleMania 39 is coming up. So it's been almost 10 years. Since The Rock wrestled John Cena at WrestleMania 29. So I'm not going to hold my breath.
Nope. But then again, I mean,
Stone Cold came back from
wrestling
at WrestleMania 38 to 19. So that's...
But,
anything can happen, but I'm not...
like I said. But yeah, that Rock-Cena match, like I said, I think it gets overshadowed by the fact it wasn't once in a lifetime. They had the rematch the next year, and Cena won. But... this was a good one at the time. This was a fun one. This is one of those few main events where you don't know who's gonna win.
I have a good story about Rock versus Cena when it happened.
Yeah.
I think I just told you this. So I was a junior in high school, I believe, when this happened, or a sophomore.
And okay.
I always try to like get my friends involved in wrestling. So this is where, when we were in college, where we had like the betting sheets
for yeah.
the Big Four. This is where this stemmed from. So I invited a bunch of people over because it was over spring break to watch WrestleMania 28. And I got them all convinced. Oh, you guys remember The Rock? The Rock's going to be there. He's fighting John Cena. Remember John Cena? So I get a bunch of people over there, like all of them except for like one or two, like never really watched or cared about wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
One of my good friends at the time, his name's Joel, we had this bet going for months leading into Rock versus Cena. I had Rock, he had Cena, and the loser, or the winner got to shave the loser's head or cut their haircut they wanted. So of course, your boy won because I made the right choice and picked the Rock, and I gave this kid the worst crooked mohawk you've ever seen in your life. Unfortunately, his mom made him shave it before spring break ended.
Really?
Yeah. So he did not have to go to school like that, but he did have it for a couple of days. He came to school bald the following Monday. my past versus present match, like I said, very, very different. And I know it includes somebody you don't like.
I don't.
But I think this was a pretty good opener for WrestleMania 33. It was AJ Styles versus Shane McMahon. I kind of felt like with my later matches, I kind of put myself in the corner here, and I didn't want to take Rock versus Cena. And I had the Rock already booked in another match, so I could have done Rock versus Hogan.
Okay.
But I did not have... the opportunity to do so.
So this was a match before Shane really got full of himself. I think this was one of the last ones because this was before Best in the World. This was before he fought The Miz. This is before the Braun Strowman. This is before that Royal Rumble return.
I think this match might have like gave him that like cocky,
that overconfidence.
Yeah, because he wrestled with AJ, who can wrestle a turd. He could wrestle Brad Shepard to make him look good.
Yeah, exactly.
This was AJ Styles' like WrestleMania coming out party, because you remember the year before he had kind of like a mediocre match with Chris Jericho that did not get
very
well fan reception just because he lost. I still think it was a halfway decent match. It wasn't like the worst fucking match I ever put on television, like some wrestling fans would like make you think, but.
Yep.
This, for him to come back and have this match with Shane McMahon, because I knew going, if I remember correctly, the build going into this, people were like, oh my god, he was just W champion for fucking all year, and now he's in, he lost it to Cena at the Rumble, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, now he's fighting for fighting fucking Shane McMahon, are you fucking kidding me? They can't give AJ Styles a main event match at Mania?
Yeah.
He did pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next year he got his main event. Made it wasn't the last match on the card, but wasn't it the next year he fought Shinsuke?
Yeah, he had the world title match for Shinsuke finally.
Yeah.
The dream match.
All it took was for him to get over the Shane McMahon hump.
Yeah, that's alright though. He did alright.
Now we kind of hinted at it with my past versus present one. The next one would be Out of Retirement. I picked Austin Owens for that one. I'm still extremely pleased with how well Austin looked.
Yeah.
I know some people kind of, they wanted to shit on it, but I mean, I don't think I expected him to go out there and hit any top rope planches or torture racks or... He's a brawler, so he's going to brawl. And Kevin Owens was the perfect opponent to have for him. It makes me want more, but I don't want to see Austin too much and get over... I don't want him to get Goldberged, where he has a good match coming back, and it's like, yeah, I could enjoy this. And then the next match, something happens, and I'm like, oh no, he's showing his age.
I think Austin knows that too, which is good. I don't think he's going to have another match quite like that this year if he does make an appearance.
No, I think if Austin comes back, the rumor is Triple H is trying to get Austin and Rock for 40, which makes sense. So it's, maybe it's have him...
Philadelphia, I think, right?
Yeah, so we'll see how the fans... But, the rumor for this year is him and LA Knight. But I don't think you could live up to the Austin Owens match. Plus, I don't think you could live up to Austin coming out and helping McAfee against Austin Theory and Vince McMahon.
Yeah, because you thought, you know, he has matched the night before. He's done for the weekend. And he's already on his ATV driving back to the ranch, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah. You know, surprise, surprise. You never know. I'm a sucker for those kind of things. Just cheap nostalgia pops at Mania.
Yeah, I'd say Austin's always so good at him. He was the referee for the Goldberg-Brock match at 20. He did the Piper's Pit / Carlito's, I forget what his talk show was called, moment at 21. I believe he was inducted at 22, or at least around it. He did the Donald Trump thing at 23. Fast forward a few years, and he helped open WrestleMania 30. WrestleMania 32, he came out with Mick Foley and Shawn Michaels.
So cool was the 25. He was inducted in WrestleMania 25.
Oh, okay. And then, I mean, it seems like he's always been a part of Mania. He'll take a year or two off. But I don't think anyone's ever heard his music and booed.
No.
Or been like, oh, here comes Stone Cold.
I don't think they ever will. Yeah, so my out of retirement match, I think literally being forced out of retirement here by Vince McMahon, another match from WrestleMania 34, John Cena versus The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Undertaker, the year before WrestleMania 33, he fights Roman. Looks terrible, unfortunately. I don't want to say terrible. That's kind of as mean to him.
Just looked gassed.
His age caught up to him. His age and his injuries caught up to him.
I don't think he should have. I don't think it should have been the main event. And I don't think, was it a Hell in a Cell?
No, it was. I think it was like a no holds barred like
type match. I think it should have been, and I know with Roman and Taker, you can't do a main event. Or you can't not have it be the main event, but it should have been middle of the card. That one should have got the 5 minutes that 34 did.
Yeah.
And then we're hearing recently in interviews that Taker trained for a 45-minute match with Cena, and then he got there, and Vince an hour before essentially told him it was a rib and that they'd get 5 minutes. He went to John and was like, hey, let's talk Vince out of it. You know, we could probably convince him. And then Cena's like, nah, I've talked shit about you for weeks. You're just supposed to squash me. So Taker, the rumor is he almost walked out.
Yeah, like, because, like, on paper, it sounds kind of shitty.
Like, yeah.
John Cena, you know, the biggest wrestler since Hogan and Austin, right? Getting squashed out to Taker, who just had, like, the worst match of his, second worst match of his career the year prior. Mania match, I'd say. And he's just supposed to go out and squash him in 5 minutes. But in reality, I think it was probably the right decision at the time.
Yeah.
Especially if we weren't getting no real build to it. And it's just John Cena just kind of promos to himself essentially every week to go out
yeah.
and have like a 45-minute like match. Like, whatever. I had to put it here for the out of retirement match because The Undertaker literally came out of retirement for it.
His match
was going to be at 33. He wasn't going to wrestle ever again. And then Vince gives him the call after his surgery. He's like, come on, pal.
I do like how it shows the legitimacy in Undertaker matches at Mania, though, because the whole build was Cena, you know, I've already won titles. He actually didn't have a match, so he's like, I'm going to have to make one, Undertaker. And, I mean, it goes so well to show, we've talked about it here before, that an Undertaker match is almost as important as a title match. Yeah. And even at the later stage of his career, having John Cena call him out for it, that just exemplifies it.
Yeah, so let's move on here. Your celebrity match, who'd you have?
At first I had LT and Bam Bam Bigelow, but then I realized that recently we got the great Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. I would say that it started Sami Zayn's year out strong, but as it was graciously pointed out by a fan, April is not the beginning of the year.
Yeah, oh yeah. Our mistake.
So,
Yeah. We fucked up. We'll own it. I dumbly thought that January was the beginning of the year. But obviously, if you're going by the WWE video games, the beginning of the year is April. So, we'll own up to it.
Sammy and Knoxville, I mean, it was fun. It was a lot more fun than it had any right to be. I think that's where Sami Zayn showed. Between that and then the golden egg where he ratted out Austin Theory, yeah. That was his two big moments that propelled him to the bloodline that we're at now.
Yeah, that Mania had a lot of good celebrity matches. That also had the Pat McAfee Austin Theory one,
which yep. was
good. You know, it did get ruined with the Vince McAfee match right after, but Austin saved it. And then also, I don't know if you remember, Bad Bunny had that tag match that year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was against, and I think he teamed with Damian Priest. And I think Logan Paul was at that one, too.
We've had a lot of good celebrities lately.
Four celebrity matches at one Mania. Wow. Last celebrity matches, we're going to go back in time a little bit. Not too far. Another person Logan does not care for too well. I just put this on here because I remember as a kid, I was super hyped for it. Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather, WrestleMania 24.
Yeah, I heard they had to. They tried giving Floyd Mayweather a script to follow, but he couldn't read it.
Yeah, I thought it was fun as a kid. If I'm being completely honest, I probably not have gone back and watched it since then. I'll be fully transparent here. I'm just going based on my childhood nostalgic glasses here.
I almost put one of the Mr. T matches just because of how well Piper Hogan carried the first one, how well Piper carried the second one. But like I said, there's just something about that Sammy Knoxville chemistry. I mean, McAfee in theory could have almost been one as well.
Yeah. I
and who knows?
Theory typed out, but I knew you were going to put Sammy Knoxville on here. And I was like, okay, I want to have another one from last year's WrestleMania on our all-time Mania card.
Yeah. And who knows, in a year or two, if this gets updated, Logan Paul could certainly be on it.
Well, yeah,
especially with the Seth Rollins match coming up.
Would you even consider him a celebrity match at this point? He's had so many matches. He's just a wrestler now who used to
be
a YouTuber.
I think until he does full-time, I'm still going to consider him a celebrity.
Fair enough.
But once he starts actually wrestling on Raw and SmackDown, which I heard could be the plan, then he could just be in the miscellaneous category, which is our next one. And I know I meant...
Let me just do mine first, since you already had this one. This is my other one that was the same as yours. I put Randy Savage versus Steamboat here from WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
You already said everything that needs to be said about it. One of the greatest matches of all time. So I had to throw it onto the card somewhere on here. So
then mine, I talked about how Ray and Eddie could be regarded as one of the best first matches in Mania history. I have what many regard as the greatest opening match in Bret and Owen Hart. These two went out, and they definitely stole the show at WrestleMania 10. It was nice to see Owen get the win on his big brother, but like Chris Jericho puts it in many of the Hart family documentaries, it was such a big brother, little brother thing to have big brother lose to little brother, but then go on and main event and win the title in the main event. So then at the end of the show, you have Owen just standing at the top of the Titantron, just looking in disgust as Bret is hoisted up and has the title. There's so many more. I mean, I listed my three other miscellaneous ones, but I could have done
the tag of only being able to use each wrestler one time.
Yeah,
is what sucks, because like if you can't put Bret Austin on here, you can't do Shawn Michaels, Undertaker on here.
Well, I knew Bret was going to be in my miscellaneous category. I just didn't know if I was going to do Bret and Mr. Perfect. Bret and Roddy Piper, Bret and Austin, Bret and Owen. Bret pretty much dominated this category for me.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice, though. I think Bret Owen would be the one I would pick out of those ones as well. Just like you said, Bret Owen winning earlier in the night, like getting the upper hand over his brother, and then Bret coming back and winning the title at the end of the night. I think that was just perfectly played. But we have two heavyweight championship matches left to go. What was your first heavyweight championship match? Because, as I said before, my miscellaneous was Savage, Steamboat.
My first heavyweight title was from WrestleMania 20. It was Benoit, Michaels, and Triple H. I mean, even with all of the, you know, obviously the terrible double murder suicide that was involved in the Benoit home. This is the one, you know, you always have people that's like, oh, if I were to watch a Benoit match, what would it be? This is the one. I mean, I know he had some battles with Angle and Jericho, but this match just, it was everything. Michaels had his moments seeing Benoit finally win the big one, and then Triple H finally put over someone from WCW cleanly by that in the middle of the ring. It was just a big moment, and then following it up with Benoit and Guerrero celebrating in the ring, what was a touching moment and what ended up turning into one of the more darker images in WWE history. I think this is a great first heavyweight title match to have.
I think, I just think it's going to be, it's sad that this will be the, like the WrestleMania main event, like lost.
Yeah.
To time, essentially.
Yep. Shawn Michaels versus Triple H versus other competitor for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah. Like, this match will never get, like, properly televised, like, in DVDs or whatever. Like, it's, like, obviously it's still available on the Peacock. On Peacock, you can still watch it, but, like, eventually, like, a couple of years from now, I know we're still, I don't think we're quite there yet, there'll be wrestling fans who have essentially no idea that this match probably happened.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my first world title match, also one of the best triple threat world title matches. I'd say I'd probably put it second behind Benoit, HBK, and Triple H. Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton versus Batista, WrestleMania 30. Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan opening the match, opening the night, putting on a main event caliber match against Triple H. Start. The callbacks from the entire year, using that one referee, the crooked referee, Scott Armstrong.
Yeah.
An appearance. Then Triple H and Stephanie making an appearance at the end there. Great, great stuff. Bryan finally winning clean. He can't take it back this time. Making Batista of all people tap out. Which is, you know, great for Batista. He went from winning this match and having a like a short run as champion, going to the summer before he leaves again, to tapping out and then essentially being hated, tapping out and then becoming a joke. Batista
yeah.
for months after this. Putting on great matches though. This is probably that was a great. It was a great little run for Batista right there. This is probably one of like my personal all-time favorites. I was fully back into wrestling at this point. Probably 3 years in. This is like the first. This is the first WrestleMania on the network.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. Not having to convince my my dad to buy a $60 pay-per-view for me was nice.
And, I mean, 30 was just, it was a roller coaster in itself. Like I said, Rock, Austin, Hogan opened it. Partway through, you had Taker losing to Brock. And then this was definitely what the fans needed to end the show. And you said good for Batista, because from everything that I know, his short reign would have ended up ending at SummerSlam, losing to Brock.
Yep.
Somebody
was losing to Brock. It was either going to be Daniel Bryan, Batista, or
Cena.
So.
Yeah, Bryan was option number two, and he was going to get thrown around like a rag doll, and he probably would have died. But, I mean, luckily, not luckily, he got hurt and got checked out before then. And yeah. Luckily, this wasn't the 90s to where they would have let him do the match still.
Well, also, if you want to think about it, like Brock Lesnar destroying John Cena like that, I think would have the biggest impact out of the other.
Oh guys. Yeah,
like cause we knew Batista at the time, we would have known Batista was probably leaving.
Yeah,
so him just being squashed on the way out wouldn't have done much. And Daniel Bryan's 5'7", 180 pounds, right? Like yeah, of course Brock Lesnar will destroy him. But him going up against, at the time, a 15-time world champion. And just kicking his fucking ass. Awesome. What's your final heavyweight match? I see it's an all-timer. Probably the most important WrestleMania match of all time.
Yeah, I've got Hogan and Andre. I've got the two main title matches from WrestleMania 3 here on my card. Savage and Steamboat and Hogan and Andre. Although it's memed quite a bit now because of how Hogan keeps, you know, making Andre grow. At times, you know, he's 7'6", 800 pounds. At times, he wasn't going to let Hogan slam him, and he just had to do it. You know, he broke his back slamming him, that kind of stuff. But really, I mean, this match can be called a heavyweight match. This can be called a past versus present match. I mean, there's a little bit of celebrity sprinkled in there with Andre going on to Hollywood. This is just...
Hollywood.
Yeah, there's just... And this match, there's so much emotion, there's so much storytelling with it. And the whole time Hogan's trying to slam Andre, and it's just not working. You can see his back giving out. They mentioned how his back was out from WrestleMania 2 against Bundy. And then when he finally slammed him, and the crowd just erupts. And then he hits that leg drop to win the title, or to keep the title. And, I mean, he doesn't truly drop it until right before 4, when those crooked Hebners screwed him over. In a way, I wish this would have been Andre's swan song. I know that he continued to perform for about 3 to 4 years after this, but it would have been perfect for him to ride out in the sunset. But I have a sneaky suspicion that at the time he was the Undertaker, where whenever he would try and leave, Vince would just pull him back in. It always seems he has one of those, whether it's Bruno, Andre, Taker. Kind of seems like Cena and Brock were the last two before Vince retired.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because there's a story I just seen recently that Hogan was telling about this match, that he didn't know what the finish of this match was going to be going into it, and that Andre said that they were going to call it in the ring. And he did not know if Andre was going to put him over. Now, we all know Hulk Hogan likes to lie. I don't think he does it on purpose. I think he just does.
So,
do you think that story's true?
From what I know, they knew the finish of the match. Hogan, and I think it was Pat Patterson, didn't know if Andre would let him pin him. So that was the worry, was that either Andre would kick out, or maybe on one of the close pinfalls that Andre had on Hogan, they were worried that Andre was going to stay on top of Hogan and just take the title for himself. Because nobody was really sure if Andre respected Hogan enough to let him get the win. Clearly, he put him over.
Yeah.
I think Hogan knew he was supposed to win. I just don't think he knew if he was going to be allowed to.
Okay, I just wanted to see, because I always know Hogan likes to stretch the truth on his story.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to take credit for things that he was even there when it happened. But...
Yep, and that's why we call Chris Jericho the modern-day Hulk Hogan.
My world title match, my final one here, I feel like it had to be included because I knew you didn't put it on yours. Stone Cold versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17. I kind of see it as like the series finale of the Attitude Era.
Oh yeah.
Like if you had to like write a movie on. Like the Attitude Era, WWE, WWF versus WCW. Like this would be like after Stone Cold shakes Austin's hand, like fade to black. That's roll credits. Makes you want to go back and come back and watch Ruthless Aggression at the theater. I don't know. But you're probably not as important in the grand scheme of things as Hogan versus Andre. But I'd say this is probably the biggest Mania main event, probably of all time. The two
biggest
stars in wrestling at the time, and probably both of them top 3 or 4 all time, fighting for the WWF Championship in the main event of WrestleMania at one of the biggest stadiums they've ever sold. And it was a great match. It went on seemingly forever. It was like they put in the time. I think it was like a 30-minute classic. Because I think I was watching that. Who did it? Was it Cultaholic? One of them, one of the wrestling tubers. They did a top 10 longest matches of Mania. I think this was number 10.
I mean, and rightfully so. They put in the win this one. This is one of those. I mean, when you think of two top guys facing at Mania, you've got Hogan Andre, Hogan Savage, Hogan Warrior, Michaels Hart, Austin Michaels, Austin Rock. And then from there, you kind of lose it. I mean, sure, we had Cena having some matches. Yeah. But I don't think those... I think the closest we get in that modern era was Cena and Michaels. And then recently we've had Brock and Roman, and I'm sure people are going to want Roman and Cody thrown in on it. But yeah, Rock and Austin does something that the others don't, and the feud started years before, not just for the WWF title, but then it continued for years as well. Hogan Andre, it kind of started a few months before Mania, and then, like I said, it continued up until about Mania 4. Hogan and Savage, a little bit before Mania 5, continued a little bit after Mania 5. Hogan and Warrior started pretty much at the Rumble, went until that Mania. We never really got a true blow-off with Michaels and Hart, thanks to Shawn losing his smile. We didn't get a true blow-off to Austin and Michaels, because Michaels is back. The Rock and Austin... It's one of those rivalries. It definitely deserved its own documentary.
The best trilogy of matches, I'd say, at Mania 2.
Yeah.
Better than Triple H Undertaker.
Yep.
Better than Roman Brock.
Oh, 100%.
Am I missing anybody else who had a trilogy?
I think that would be... Because Taker and Kane only did two. So, yeah. That would be it.
Cena only did two.
Yeah, those would be the only trilogies, at least at the main event level. I'm sure there might be some sort of jobber match that got a trilogy.
Memorial Battle Royal trilogy.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'd watch any of these cards.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you want to like have like a prepper for Mania this week or next weekend, just watch any of these matches that we mentioned. Because it kind of plays out as like an actual WrestleMania card. Like you have your opener, your tag ladder matches, your mid cards with the secondary titles and the women's championships and the celebrity matches.
And you're out of retirement matches.
Yeah, you got your nostalgia pops, right? And then you have, like, your two miscellaneous, just great technical wrestling matches. Two of the best WWE and WWF has to offer when it comes to wrestling, if you like that style. And two and four of the biggest WrestleMania main events ever.
Yeah.
So, can't go wrong there. If you want to get prepared for WrestleMania 39.
If you don't want to sit through 38 WrestleManias and every match they have to offer, definitely check out some of these if you haven't already. And who knows, like I said, maybe in a couple years, some from this year's Mania or WrestleMania 40 will be included on one of these cards.
So I think it's probably a good time to wrap it up here. So check the description for our link tree if you're not already following us on our social medias, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all that good shit.
And what are you doing?
What are you doing? Why are you listening to an hour and 15-minute podcast from two people following them on social media? What are you doing? So make sure you do that. And also while you're here, you know, if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, I guess. I haven't really actually looked at the Google Podcast page. I have no idea what it looks like. I'm assuming there's a rating button on those too. So give us a 5-star rating. You know? I'm not against shelling out for some likes here.
And if you know of anyone that likes wrestling, I definitely recommend us to them. If you're going through our YouTube page, as always, there's, you know, we call it the vaults with some of our older beginning videos. We've got our PW profiles and some of the older wrestlers there that unfortunately are relegated to the Legacy Hall of Fame. We have some tier lists that were pretty fun to do. Our most recent one, we fixed the Wyatt Six.
Yes, we did.
Since that's just a goddamn disaster. Imagine that. We begin and end the podcast taking little jabs at Bray. Hopefully we didn't hurt his feelings.
Yeah, and if you're into the wrestling video games, we also have kind of our first foray into like Let's Plays and stuff like that. We have
Our World Cup,
the Pro Wrestling Proverbs World Cup. I know. Me and Logan haven't recorded one in like 3 weeks because we did so many at once, so we're backlogged on them. But they're coming out. We have a new episode that should be up right now. The Pro Wrestling Proverbs World Cup Round of 64 Part 1 just went live. If you want to go back and watch the Battle Royals and see how we got there and the rules are, so check that out. And subscribe to our YouTube over there. Logan wants to get that goddamn silver play button.
Yeah, I do. I've seen some channels that don't deserve it, and I think we deserve it.
So help Logan fulfill his dream before he croaks. Let's get it. Let's get him that fucking play button. Let's do it.